Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Gina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Mann from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We are live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar Rock Daily on the Dollhouse Radio website. Dollhouse Radio is home of the indie artists. We play majority indie music and very few major artists. Indie artists, email your music submissions to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photo, and your music in MP3 format. Or purchase one of our promo packages available to you on our website. Businesses and promoters looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, dollhouseradio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Sheree Lurie, Nuria Alfonso, Heroin, Raphael, Carla Page, Young Peach, and Mila J. Beauty and Beats returns with a hot new cast and lots of fun this Sunday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, along with our Urban Society show airing at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Also, Launchpad Radio returns, hosted by music industry veteran Ian Burke, Thursday, May 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss all the tea Hot Sugar is dishing out. Be sure to follow our Hot Sugar Instagram page at IG_HotSugar. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at Dollhouse_Radio. And be sure to sign up on our mailing list on the website. And now, back to your program.
Six four six five nine five four zero three eight. Once again, the number is 646-595-4038. And welcome again to another edition of Real Talk with the Director in the Jedi Council. I am the Director. For those of you who don't know, I'll be with you for the next 90 minutes or so. Real Talk is brought to you every Monday, always by India Morrell, Dollhouse Radio. And airing to millions of people worldwide web via blogtalkradio.com. So, welcome back for another Monday. And we're here to... It's funny, I'm tongue-tied because I'm really, really feeling a little mesmerized by the adventure and experience that I had over the weekend seeing Avengers Age of Ultron. Film was, you know, we'll get to, you know, some reviewing on it, but if you haven't seen the film by now, spoiler alert, because we're going to be reviewing the film. We're also going to do our top five. Now, we've had a previous show where we've talked about comic book films. We've had previous shows where we've different types of films and comic films before. But what I want to do is go back and see that these comic films are so rapidly made now. You got to rearrange your top five every few months, every 6 months or so, maybe a little every year. However, I want to do the top five best comic film ever, in your opinion. So call us up, 646-595-4038, and call in with your list of top five best comic films. And then we're going to go a little bit further and say, let's talk a little bit more and say, what about giving out your top five best Marvel characters, Marvel movie characters? This is not a comic book question. This is a comic book film question. So when you think about your top five Marvel characters from the movies, I want to hear your list. I want to hear your list. Who is the best? Who are the best characters, top five, from five to one, one obviously being the number one best in the Marvel Universe? So we'll talk all things Marvel behind that. Age of Ultron, starring Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson. I mean, the list goes on and on. Samuel Jackson. I mean, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth. It just keeps going on. So, directed by Joss Whedon. The movie was just awesome. I'm like drained from all the yelling and screaming I did over the weekend. So, we'll go to the weekend recap, and I'm going to hold off on the weekend recap. I want my Jedi Council here. I know I could bring in one of the two, and I'm waiting on the other one. Let's bring in Ralph. Ralph, you're in the building.
What's going on? May the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Star Wars Day. That is correct. Oh, baby. You don't want me messing with my Star Wars sound bites. You know I start going crazy with my Vader sound bites. That's right. It is Star Wars Day, everyone. Thanks for the reminder, Ralph. And we all know what's going on with that. That's going to be the most anticipated film of this year, period.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't go out and see it, I tell you, I don't know where you're going to be. Why would you do something like that if you don't go out and see this film? And you're going to just, yeah. Don't make me send Vader after you.
Don't make me destroy you.
No. You don't want to send Vader after you. But I'm going to do the weekend recap. So when we talked about, of course, we all know Age of Ultron led the weekend. All right, we all put in bets, you know, kind of like bets. Not really. We put in predictions. We never actually bet anything. We probably should have because I would have won. But last week, we all put our predictions for weekend tally for Age of Ultron.
I know. I was way off.
You were way off. You were somewhere around 250. Strange.
I said
80.
I said 215 to 225.
Okay. And Kev said somewhere around 200. And then he went down to like, I think he went down to like 200. I said it was going to be somewhere around 150, 160. I just thought that it would be, and I wasn't way off. It came in at like 191 or something like that. I'll look at the exact number for Age of Ultron over the weekend. As of May 3rd, not including tonight, as of May 3rd, $191 million domestically. Now, like I said, my theory behind it is this. For whatever reason, domestic never makes as much money as overseas. And they opened up overseas to $200 million. So that's how I knew the number was going to be at least under that. It wasn't far under it. It almost matched it. So good job, America, or you know, the United States or whatever it is. Good job by at least trying to match it, but they didn't match it. Age of Ultron, of course, we know was the top. Number two was holding strong at number two. Five weeks on the charts, probably in the top three. Furious 7, which is still holding strong, and it's now reached over the $1 billion mark. It's almost at $1.5 billion. It is just soaring. Worldwide, that is. Worldwide, Furious 7 is at $1,429,000,000. That is tough. That is tough, man. So they're at almost at 1.5 bill. They looking to hit the $2 billion mark by the time they come out on DVD, Blu-ray, and all of that. They're going to hit the $2 billion mark. Wow. So they're at number two this week. They got bumped off by Age of Ultron. Then we have The Age of Adeline, which is, I just think it's so ironic that there's two movies out with the age of something. And I'm like, they're just two completely opposite movies. It's like Avengers, The Age of Ultron, and then you got The Age of Adeline. So that was number three, made $23 million so far. But over the last weekend, it made another $6 million. Number four, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, 3 weeks on the charts. And last week it was what? Paul Blart last week was number two. Age of Adeline was actually number three last week as well. It opened at number three, and it stays number three. Paul Blart. And then we have at number five, Home, which is the animated film starring Jim Parsons and Rihanna, the voices of Jim Parsons and Rihanna, Steve Martin and Jennifer Lopez. That movie is an animated film distributed by Fox, and it's been on the charts for 5 weeks. No, I'm sorry, 6 weeks. And last week it was number four. So there you have it. Now, it's funny, I mentioned Fox distributed that film. I got such a bone to pick with Fox. I am just furious. I am furious. And I know Kevin knows exactly what I'm going to be talking about I'm furious with Fox.
Wow, what'd they do to you? What'd they do to you?
Well, I mean, it's not what they did to me. It's what they're doing to Marvel, which is messing up our storyline to go further in this great, great epic stories and adventures that they're telling, which Age of Ultron kind of kicks off. Well, actually, Avengers kicked it off, you know, but And I believe Kevin's on the line. We're going to bring him in because he knows what I'm talking
about. Hello? Hello? Put me on. I got something to say. Hello? Am I on?
You're
on.
The
air?
I just got to know. I just got to know, man. I still got to give you credit for surviving the marathon. Like, wow. A day and a half and we're there.
Applaud that man. Applaud that man.
Give that man some bonbons, Mr.
Yo, it was totally awesome, man. Totally awesome. The crowd was in the place. It was like, yo, it was every movie that came on was like the first screening all over again. I mean, people cheering, cool. People telling people to shut up so they can hear the dialogue that they've heard like 20 different times. It was just awesome. Except for Iron Man 3. I think a lot of people left the theater for Iron Man 3 and either went to their cars like I did, because I got an awesome spot right around the corner from the movie theater. It was just awesome. And people were sleeping in the hallways, laid out. They brought their blankets. They had Marvel blankets, Marvel pajamas, PJs. It was just, it was a Marvel night. Like, DC,
wow.
I listen, not to knock DC, but I don't know. But let's stay on topic, because I was yelling. I was like, put me on, please. Fox can burn in a hole with gasoline.
Yeah, Fox.
Fly down the mountain and raise a blade.
So what I was explaining to Ralph is Fox is putting a monkey wrench in what we are, what the fans are trying to, experience and what we want to see in this mighty adventure of the Avengers, the world's mightiest heroes. And so this storyline and arc that we're kind of following for the Avengers as Age of Ultron really helped set up those storylines for the movies to come. So we have Civil War, which is going to be the next collaborative movie where you'll see multiple Avengers in. You'll see that's in a Captain America movie, Captain America Civil War. Then you're going to see from that point on we'll witness the Avengers Infinity War parts 1 and 2, which will follow their epic battles with the Titan, Thanos. So, this is where Fox comes in and where they're kind of screwing things up. We all know that, obviously, in the Marvel comic universe, there's not just, there's everyone. There's the Avengers, there's the Fantastic Four, there's Spider-Man, there's X-Men. And Fox owns the rights to X-Men, and Fox owns the rights to Fantastic Four, which is coming out this, which I will not be supporting. And so because of the fact that Fox does not want to just come to their senses and collaborate with Marvel, so Marvel can bring their whole universe together, and we can see some crossover, like other than what we've seen with Avengers and stuff, but they had to set out basically, what's this, like a 10, 20-year plan? When did they start? When did Iron Man come out?
2008.
2008.
Yeah, 2008.
So from 2008, and this story isn't going to be over to 2020, basically. Okay? So this long plan that they've been doing, all because they had to really pretty much start all the storylines from scratch to get everyone up to date who's not comic book fans. We get it. But in between, you got the X-Men films, you got the Spider-Man films. But Sony has come to their senses, so you will see Spider-Man crossed over in some of these films. More than likely Civil War. And probably Infinity War as well. But so long story short, Fox is holding out, just like Sony was doing at one time too. because they don't want to give up the power that they got over the X-Men characters and the Fantastic Four characters, which happened to be, see, I think they think they got Marvel by the balls or something, because they feel that if they feel if they hold some of their more prominent characters in this storyline, the Fantastic Four, the storyline of Civil War, the Fantastic Four is very prominent characters. They could hold them hostage, and whatever the reason may be, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, but they should just come, you know, come to their senses, collaborate like Sony's doing. You'll still get your money. See, Marvel don't mind breaking bread. They got plenty of bread behind them. They'll break bread with Fox and be like, yo, let us do all the work. You sit back and get a check. That plain and simple. If, you know, because they're not going to give it back to you. But they don't want to do it. So I'm really, really pissed off with them. Because this story is getting better and better. And now we got to deal with this nonsense of Fox.
And you would think that they would want to allow Marvel to go ahead and be the front runners with it, or be the forerunners with it, and take helm of the project and just sit back and collect money. I mean, that's just more money in your pocket. If you're picking up on the distribution, it's automatic money.
So what they ended up...
Wait, hold it. See, now I got to come from this side. You know, both of you guys got very good points, but realistically speaking, both of you guys are absolutely positively wrong. Fox is not stupid. They're absolutely right for not giving up the rights to those characters. Because the bottom line is that those films still put money into the coffers for Fox. They don't put money into the coffers for Marvel. And the truth of the matter is, if Sony wasn't going through financial problems, they wouldn't even be entertaining the idea of giving up Spider-Man, which realistically are, right?
No,
you got to look at this thing. I mean, you guys are looking at it, and probably me too. We're looking at it from the aspect of, like, we're the comic book fans, but we're not looking at it from the aspect of us running a business.
I get that, Ralph. I get that, and you're right.
So now let me ask you this question. You just said, let Fox sit back, let Marvel take control of their property, let Fox sit back and just cut a check. So if they do that, then realistically speaking, if Marvel comes in and brings the X-Men characters into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then who, realistically speaking, who really controls the characters? Marvel or Fox?
Marvel should be in control of the characters.
But you can't blame Fox. You can't sit there and blame Fox or Sony or, to realistically speaking, before Paramount, for what Marvel, the problem that Marvel was going through, and Marvel started breaking up the characters. Fox didn't come to him and say, well, we just want this character. No. Marvel put that out there.
Right. And you're 100% right, but this is what I'm saying. Now, Marvel was trying to negotiate with them to be able to have the right to use the word mutant. You know what I'm saying? And to be able to use the characters in their universe. Why not negotiate with that? If nobody, because somebody wants to have creative control, that doesn't stop the type of money that you're getting. That's just like...
Yes, it, yes,
like,
yes. Oh,
not
yes.
Necessarily, no,
yes,
no, not
it
necessarily,
does.
Not
yes,
route.
No,
it's
no,
cool.
no,
money,
it, no. It, because
that's why,
put,
that's
put,
why they
put,
have a thing called a contract. You can negotiate.
No. It really does. Because then what happens is that you're going into direct conflict of what you're doing compared to what someone else is doing. So if
no,
like
no,
this,
but that's the, but
wait,
see,
look,
that's
wait
the
a
thing. But that's the thing, Rob. That's what I'm trying to say. You, if you give Marvel creative control, this is when you become. This is where you gel together, like Marvel and Sony is doing. This is when you gel together and be like, okay, we're still going to make these films. You're still going to make your money, but we want to go with this. We want to go with the storylines that we already have set. So you can still have creative control, but we want you to stick to this. And if the bottom line is about money and not really actual control over the character, and it's about money, then that's just like, you know, being a rap artist. And I'm ghostwriting for you. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what you do on stage. As long as I still get my money off of what you want, I still get my royalties off of radio play and everything else, do what you want.
Okay, that brings up an interesting question. Like, you want to put it into that terminology. the first thing was like, no, you can't do that because this is the problem that you have. You have, let's say you have on screen, I'm going to just say this, you have on screen Wolverine, who's Fox.
Right.
Spider-Man, which is Sony.
Right.
And you have Iron Man, which is Marvel. Okay?
Right.
Scenes going on. Which character do you showcase in that particular scene as the lead dude?
You don't.
Of those three?
None of
yeah,
them.
You do. You really do. Because, see, what happens is that... What happens is that but the people that run the company say, wait a minute, my character in here, he's only in three major scenes, but the big scene, which is in, you don't even have my guy in there. So now because of a matter of control, well, wait a minute. I need to have my guy showcased in this thing.
But see, that's the beauty of it, Ralph. When you have a group picture where there's a collaboration of characters, a team up, it's almost going to be equal screen time. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, the Avengers are the lead. The main focus is the Avengers. The main focus is the team. Now, because there are fan favorites in the film, that's when you start. That's where it really boils down to. It boils down to the fan favorites.
But Joss Whedon did a good job of not singling out any one character. Everyone had a moment.
You're absolutely right. But now take a look at the X-Men movie. Who is the main character in the X-Men movies?
Well, it depends
Wolverine.
On the film. Because
exactly.
Well,
that's the
route the director chose to go.
All of them?
Yeah.
Wolverine is the only character in the X-Men movies. He has been in every single X-Men movie. He's the only guy.
And that's right.
There is no X-Men without Wolverine because the guys that make the movie know that Wolverine is the marketing tool for X-Men. Right.
Exactly.
So now if you put him in a scene with Wolverine and Tony Stark, for example, which of those two characters is going to get the best lines?
That's when it boils down to the director. And that's what the beauty is about Disney. They let Marvel lets their directors do what they need to do. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to pull an Avi Arad and what's her face? Laura Dern Shower, whatever her name is. They're not going to pull one of them and try to pull control away from the director because then you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you have somebody that enjoys the source material, and that's what it boils down to. If you really want to talk about what
Stop
it is,
respecting
it boils
the source
down
material.
Exactly. That's what it boils down to. And when you don't have respect for the source material, granted, we all know that Hawkeye can't run around in a purple thing, in a purple suit, which he can. They can do it, but, you know, they can change up the design. But we know we can't have him looking like he did in the comic book because some people, quote-unquote, feel that it won't translate well on film. It'll be kind of, it'll be corny. Or I don't know what I'm looking for, but you know what I'm saying. It'll be campy. So you turn around and you figure a way out to make it work. But that's what you do. You negotiate.
Here's something interesting I posed to you, Ralph. And we're gonna take some callers in a few minutes. I see the call lines are lighting up. They might want to chime in on the on this topic, or they may have a top five that they want to bring to the table. But anyway, now we're about to experience very soon one or two things: the power of Marvel or the power of Fox, and. It's about to be a power struggle now, because Marvel has decided to take what they can do on their end. Now they've decided to cancel the Fantastic Four comic book altogether.
And in their universe.
In the whole Marvel universe. So what they're now doing is they're training their fans from scratch to live without the Fantastic Four, which will then translate to the box office, and the movie is not going to make the money expected, that any Marvel movie is expected to make. Because no matter what, they're all Marvel movies. It's just that they're not being distributed. They have Marvel Fox movies, but you know what I'm saying. Marvel is always going to have their hand in it. But the point is, why, you know, I guess they're to the point now where why do we want to have our even have our hand in it if it's not going to be done properly? You know, it's not, the source material is not being respected. And we're at a point right now where we're on a roll. We got the fans coming out and eating out of our hands. We could do no wrong in their eyes right now. But then you still got these stragglers out there. You know, in the meantime, you know, people making these Tony Stark films, the Iron Man films, and the Avengers, and all that great films coming out, and then you still got, you know, over here, Fox making garbage films like Fantastic Four. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I haven't even seen the film yet. It hasn't come out yet. I have no intention of seeing it. But even without that, let's go back to Fantastic Four Part 2 that Fox did. That film wasn't that good. They tried to do the Silver Surfer and completely failed on that. They tried to do Galactus, and that was an epic fail. That was just like a lack of budget, epic fail. Like the same thing that they ran into, the same problem in their other movie, in the X-Men Part 3, where they tried to do a Sentinel, which really looked like a freaking car, you know, headlights from a car lifted into the air. It just looked terrible. They did their little Sentinel, and it's like, no, fail. So my point is, Marvel's going to have to go the route and say, okay, well, if you're not going to see it in our direction, then what we're going to do is we're going to cut off your lifeline. Now you ain't even going to have no source material to even refer to. And that's when you come out with movies like this garbage that's about to come out, where they're basically using no source material, really, and just kind of making it up. Nah, let's make a Black Human Torch. Why not?
And no toys are going to be made from it either.
Right.
So there's going to be no merchandising.
No merchandising is going to really be made from it. And they're not going to make the money they're supposed to make. That's the only way they can make them see what to do, because hit them in the pocket. And then they're going to do the same thing. I'm afraid they're going to do the same thing with X-Men. They're going to be like, hey, right now, X-Men, like you said, you hit it on the head, Ralph. X-Men really only sells because of Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. Everyone loves him in the comics. I mean, everyone loves him. I mean, he's always been one of the favorites, if not the favorite, X-Men. Has always been Wolverine for many, many, many years. So we knew that doing that was going to, you have to focus on Wolverine, and they got a good casting. And this is what it is. They've stretched out the X-Men movies, damn near as far as they can go. Now it's time. Everyone's starting to cross over movies now. You got to join the party, man. You have to join the party. You're not going to – people, by the time the next X-Men movie comes out, people are going to be unseen, like Civil War, and all those other movies are probably going to be out at the time, because Civil War comes out next year. So it's like, I think X-Men Apocalypse might come out next year as well. But it's like this. You got Marvel over here crossing over characters from movies and making it a fun experience where you can go to the movies and be crazy like Kevin and watch all the movies and have a great experience. Where you've got X-Men, you got Fox, who's separating X-Men from the whole universe of that all these other characters are in. And it just doesn't make sense, because you got characters like, this is how you know it's bad. You got a character, Quicksilver, who ended up in both movies played by two different actors because they both have laid claim on the character. Because in the comic world, Quicksilver's in the Avengers, and he's in the X-Men world. He's not an X-Man, but he's in the X-Men world. So now they have laid claims on both of them. Both of them have claims on the character, and this is what we get, which to me becomes to be crap. I think that's stupid. Like, this ain't a freaking soap opera.
The part of Quicksilver is now being played by...
This ain't a soap opera. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, are you serious? You got Quicksilver... And, like, you got Quicksilver over here. You got his interpretation of Quicksilver.
You know, Bryan Singer. You know, who did an awesome job with the effects in the character of Quicksilver, but then he didn't, once again, he didn't respect the source material, and his Quicksilver didn't even have a Russian accent.
Wait a minute. Let me ask a question. I need to ask this question, right? Sure. Because actually someone was asking me this question the other day. When you're doing comic book adaptions,
yeah,
or really speaking, any adaptions, something that's like on a written medium,
right?
Do you actually which is your job, to make the film based on the source material or to make a good film?
Both.
Really?
Both. Yeah.
So can you legitimately make a film, even though it's based on a particular source material, without using the source material? Or let me rephrase that. Without using all of the source material, like using like bits and pieces of it.
Well, you can make it, but there's the thing. What is the biggest complaint? Let's get out of comic book film. What's the biggest complaint about any film that's adapted from a book? Any of them. I can take any movie. What is the biggest complaint that anybody, that a movie that's already has a fan base of people that's bought it in its book form and read it and love it and they have a huge following?
The
biggest complaint
like the book
is that it was not like the book. That is a classic complaint. Now, granted, not everyone can make it. You're never going to make it exactly like the book. Books are not written for screen.
This is my question. Like, I can understand that part, and I kind of sort of agree with that part. However, if you're going to take a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say X-Men. Let's say, for example, X-Men only had. Better example, like Harry Potter.
Right.
Harry Potter only had 7 books, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They made 8 movies out of it. What if they say, you know what, we want to do another Harry Potter movie. We actually want to come up with an original story that keeps the flavor of the series, but is totally separate from what the book said. This has nothing to do with the books, even though we're going to keep the character and everything else. It keeps the flavor of that universe, but J.K. Rowling did not write it.
There's nothing wrong with that, because you're expanding off an already built universe, hence Star Wars, hence True Blood, hence all these other shows.
That's what Star Wars is doing right now.
Exactly. So now my question is, and you guys say they didn't respect the source material in these X-Men movies. I'm asking this question because I don't read comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read comic books. So my question is, the comic book adaptions that have come out, including the X-Men, Spider-Man, whatever, have they all used the exact word-for-word of the source material, or did some of them take bits and pieces of them and create a great movie?
Because if I'm not really mistaken,
mm-hmm. from what I understand, wasn't that The Dark Knight? Didn't The Dark Knight take bits and pieces of other books,
mm-hmm.
bind them together, and isn't it considered like one of the greatest, not comic movies, one of the greatest movies ever made?
But here's why, Ralph. With Batman, it's already established who he is, how he came about to who he is. So at this point in time with Batman, and this is a thing that Sony should have took with Spider-Man. Your origin story is already established. There's no need to go back there again. Now you need to start building off of this character and building new stories. Even with the comic books with Spider-Man, even with the comic book, they rarely went back to his original story. Then you have Spectacular Man, you have Amazing Spider-Man, you have all of these different books that show different sides of Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? And you can do the same thing in the film. And
I just got injected right here. When you said that's what they did, that's what they should do with Spider-Man. Which version of Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi versions or Amazing Spider-Man?
Case in point, he was saying there was no need to go back to the origin of Spider-Man.
Well, I totally agree with that. I absolutely agree with that 100%. There was no need to go back because you had just done it, you know.
They didn't do that kind of thing with
Batman.
Here's what I like to pose to you. Now, you brought up Star Wars. Now, this is the example. Let me give you an example. So now, suppose J.J. Abrams decided to say he comes with Star Wars. He's bringing back characters that we all know from the Star Wars universe. It's a new storyline, okay. But how would you think the Star Wars fans would feel if he decided to say, Luke Skywalker, you know, he's not actually Darth Vader's son. We're going to change his origin. We thought he was Vader's son, but he's not.
He don't want to die.
You see what I'm saying? No, but my point is, this is what we mean by respecting the source material.
I would say that for anything that's based on a previously written medium, you do have to use the source material up to a point. But major drastic changes, like you just said, Darth Vader is not Luke Skywalker's father. Now, when you start dipping into that territory, then you're no longer dealing with a Star Wars movie. You're dealing with something totally different because now you're changing it.
You're changing.
You know,
But if you sit there
and you change smaller things that still keep the thing to start, because prime example, the thing with the Star Wars, like I have a comic series here where in this book it uses the events of Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back. It's called Infinity. They use the premise of Star Wars: Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, where in the movies Luke was the one that would defeat Vader, but in that comic book, it's totally changed. Leia is the one that defeats Vader in the end.
Okay.
Right. So sure, you can change it, but do you keep the originality of that written source? Darth Vader was originally a Jedi who became bad, who had two children, and they both have Force abilities.
Right. But here's the thing.
So long as you don't change that, the comic books
came after the movies.
Sure it is.
So they changed it in the comic book world, not in the movie world, which I understand, and I get what you're saying. So my point is this. You have Bryan Singer, who made major changes to the X-Men universe. Okay. Yeah, he kept characters like Wolverine and stuff like that, but he made from the beginning mistakes that changed the whole course of telling the story. Okay?
And I'm saying, like, what was it? Because, like I said, I don't read comics.
Right.
I don't know.
I got you. So, for instance, if we start from the beginning of X-Men, the X-Men story, period. Number one, the first X-Men movie did not have the original characters that should have been in X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's number one. You had hints of them and this, that, and the other. You had this. So that was number one, okay? Also, you had it was so many other major changes that they made in the story. I don't even mind you changing story a little bit, but you got to get the origin of the characters correct.
Right.
You can't have people think, like I said before, all right, we're going to use two X-Men movies as examples. X-Men, the very first X-Men, and X-Men First Class, okay? Bryan Singer directed one of them. He produced the other. He didn't direct First Class. However, you're supposed to be going – all right, so you have X-Men, right? Who was in there? Jean Grey, Scott, who's Cyclops, right? You got these people who's in there. Major characters from the comic book that everyone knows. Storm, everyone knows that. Okay. So now you go back to X-Men First Class, which is a prequel, okay? A prequel to X-Men, because they want to show when Professor Xavier first started using his powers and how he came up with the whole idea of the X-Men. Good storyline. Now, your continuity is all screwed up with the characters. You got Cyclops, who is Scott Summers, and in X-Men First Class, you have his little brother, Alex, his little brother, in a prequel to X-Men.
And let's mind you also that Magneto and Professor Xavier, they weren't even born yet.
Yeah. So this is where he just, you know, they decide to go off on their own. And we'll take a more example now. The Fantastic Four. This new movie that's coming out for the Fantastic Four. Forget about casting a black Johnny Storm. That's the first noticeable change.
Yeah, that's the biggest mistake. That's the biggest mistake.
But the fact of the matter is, they once again, like we said before, there's been two Fantastic Four movies by Fox. Why are you going back to their origin?
Thank you.
If you're going to make a movie anyway, continue from where you left off. Or go to another story. They have plenty of stories to tell. So they had to change the origin because the director decided to make Johnny Storm black.
Because he wanted to give Michael B. Jordan some work.
Because he wanted to give Michael B. Jordan, you know, someone who he's worked with before and he likes working with. So he gave him the job and decided to do that. So in order to make that make sense, you can't continue it now. Instead of recasting Johnny Storm because now the Johnny Storm they worked with before is now Captain America, so you can't use him again. But instead of recasting him, even if you recast everyone else, why are you going back to the origin? And now you're just making shit up, let's be honest. They're going to an origin that doesn't exist, dude. You can't take an origin. That's what I meant by saying Luke Skywalker is no longer Darth Vader's son. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? You could say Luke Skywalker is now went to the dark side. You could say that because it's evolution. It's going forward. You could say in the years that pass, Luke is now the new emperor. I'm just saying that. He is now the dark side. He's on the dark side now. He turned to the dark side. You can do that and get away with it. But you cannot say Luke Skywalker is not Darth Vader's son. You can't screw with his origin. Just go forward with him. That's all you can do. And that's what we talk about and what's aggravating when we listen to people, you know, Bryan Singer and these other Fox directors that are just going any which way they want to go. No regards for the origin of the source material. That's what we mean by source material. You can tell a million stories, and no one's going to tell any story exact. They're taking even Avengers didn't tell it. But Avengers is kind of forced to change their story because of Fox. Because, you know, there's storylines that's involving characters that's in the X-Men universe and the Fantastic Four universe.
Yeah, and I'm really concerned about Civil War. Because, like Wes pointed out yesterday, how are you going to have the inner circle, the Illuminati, without Reed Richards? You can't do it.
Right.
Are you going to stretch Armstrong? I mean, what, you going to make somebody up?
Right. A.K.A. Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. Now, he's not going to, obviously not going to be in the movie because it's Fox. And they're going to do, you know, they'll have to figure out to do Civil War without him, but it's going to be weird. So
now, I'll tell you who they're going to use. They're going to use T'Challa to make up a Reed part. Watch. And in the comic.
Or Strange, maybe Doctor Strange.
Yeah, maybe Doctor Strange. And actually, Doctor Strange was a part of the council. Actually.
Yes, he was.
He was part of the council.
So,
they're going to take Black Panther and add him
yeah.
on.
That's where we're coming from, Ralph. I understand where you're coming from. Yes, Fox from a business standpoint, but what Fox has to start thinking about from a business standpoint is how long is this going to continue for us? Because people are already getting more down and down and down on the X-Men movies. And if it wasn't for the last movie, the X-Men movies were really falling off. If it wasn't for the last X-Men movie that got some good attention for it and was a good movie, the X-Men movies were falling off, you know, because of it. And you know, I liked X-Men First Class, but like I said, it was a good movie because Bryan Singer is a good director. Those movies that he does, he's a good director. But you have too many holes. Too many, you know, and it just seems like he just didn't even bother to read the source material. Like, you know, he probably read it at first, and then he's just like, yeah, we're going to do this. You know, and he's one of those type of directors that's got to have his way, and it's, yeah, we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, because yeah, he was mad as a kid, he couldn't be Wonder Woman. That's what it's
right.
like.
What'd you say?
He was mad as a kid, he couldn't be Wonder Woman. He wanted to be Jean Grey and couldn't do it. Nobody would let him.
Wow, man, that's extra. Well, here is my question because, like, you know, since we have a discussion, I'm gonna be the other side.
Yeah, okay.
You guys are saying the source material. How do you know the source material to all extent could have actually been filmed? How do you know that source material would
know.
Let me finish the question.
Yeah,
how do you know that source material? Because remember, you're not making the movie. For the people that watch read comics, you're making a movie for people of the normal folks, the regular people that don't read comic books. So, like you guys said that in X-Men First Class, for example, the first X-Men, that some of the guys that were in X-Men were not the original X-Men. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, how do you know that if you know, like they, I don't know. Because I know, like, for the original, I know one of the people that Josh Whedon wanted to use in the video was Wasp. He wanted to use Wasp, and Marvel said, well, this guy doesn't translate into what we're trying to do. So for right now, he can't be in this movie. So my question is, if the source material, right, had characters in it that probably would not have been relatable to the movie-going audience, which is, realistically speaking, comic people are a minute part of the movie-going experience.
Mm-hmm.
So where they just change it around...
Here's what camp is your argument with that.
Okay.
All the characters that they used for X-Men, all the characters that they used all of the original first five characters.
Just didn't
they
use
used all of them, and all of them translate well on screen. All the storylines translate well on screen. So
they just didn't use them properly.
Right.
They didn't use them in the capacity that they're supposed to use them.
Exactly.
As far as, you know, like I said, you know, Beast did not even appear until the second movie or a third movie. Wasn't even the
and
second
he was
movie.
An original. He's an original. He's a first class.
He's right. He's one of the original ones. They
Angel.
Mentioned him. Right. Angel didn't appear until the third movie. And, you know, he's one of the originals. So... they touched on everybody. And I'll even go with what you're saying, Ralph, even if you say, okay, they might have said, okay, Angel may not translate well on film.
Which is bullcrap.
I mean, I'm just saying they might say that. They might say, you know what, it's going to be tough to, you know, whatever. We might be putting too much money into his, into his effects because he's a dude with wings, with angel wings, you know what I mean? He's got to fly. It's
right.
possible. I can imagine them doing that to try to, you know, budget and save money because they know that, we all know that with them, what's important is Hugh Jackman is the star of this movie, and we got to make sure that he is getting his screen time. I get all that. Well, all I'm saying is you could still accomplish all of that and just respect the source material. Like I said, don't turn Luke Skywalker to an orphan. Make Luke Skywalker be, you know, evolve and be something else with his background there. That's all I'm saying. Don't take these people and completely flip their origin and expect everybody to accept it. Now, the people who don't know, who don't read comics, sure, it's going to go over with them. But I also agree that the reason why Marvel is so successful with this whole franchise of Avenger movie is because they decided to let directors that actually respect the source material of comic direct the film. And because of that, they're way more successful than any of the other franchises from the other studios. The Avengers franchise, I mean, let's say I grew up collecting Spider-Man and X-Men. Those were my two favorite characters. I mean, the X-Men books and Spider-Man. But the Avengers, who I don't know if I may have had 10 Avenger comics. I didn't even collect Avengers. I collected them drips and drabs here and there because I liked certain things that was going on, certain characters. When Spider-Man joined the Avengers, I started collecting Avengers. But this is the thing. Avengers franchise is super successful because not only do the people love it, translate great for the people who don't watch film or read comics, but it respects the source material, and the people that do love comics and cartoons and knows about these characters, they're just amazed, and they're pleasing both worlds. They're pleasing both worlds. Whereas, you know, the other studios are not. So, with that being said, we're going to start. You know, I said that we was going to do a little. What do we think would be our top five, our best Marvel movies? And I also said, you know, we touched on this before about comic film, but I did want to revisit that and come up with a list of what do you actually think from your experience. Now, it'll be interesting to hear yours. This is not based on comic books, Ralph, because you're not a comic book reader, but you've seen probably all of the comic book films, most of them, if not all of them.
I think the only one that I legitimately have not seen is the original Hulk with
Ang Lee Hulk?
Yeah, the Ang Lee version. I never saw
it. Don't worry about that. Erase that from your memory banks if you did see it. You didn't see it. You didn't miss nothing.
Now, I'm only saying that because it just, as I'm flipping through the channels, it happens to be on cable right this second.
That's so
but that's the only comic book adaption that I have not seen. No. Is
turning,
that.
Keep turning, trust me.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was atrocious. But anyway, okay, so that's what I'm saying. So you've seen them all. So if we got some people online, I want to bring some patient callers online. We got someone online. It's an unlisted number. Let's see if we can get them on the line. Caller, you're on the line with Real Talk. Your number's not listed, so I can't call it out.
Maybe it's me. What's up, man?
What's up? Who's this?
What's going on, man? You got Jamal calling from Nashville 516.
My dude.
Anyway,
right,
I've been listening to your conversation. I'm really enjoying the show and, you know, all the back and forth, and, you know, I appreciate it. But just a comment, I do really think that it's important to honor the source material. I've been collecting comics, I don't know, 20-plus years or whatever. I mean, I haven't been deep in it since I was probably like a teenager, but, you know, I still think it's real important that you kind of stick to the storylines. Now, I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody who didn't see Avengers recently, It was certain aspects of the movie that I thought was really good, and then there were certain things that I felt was like, what are you doing? You know, so it's kind of crazy, you know, when you look at it from that perspective.
Here's a question to you. Do you think that the source material was, do you think that they were compromised because of certain things that we were talking about today? Other characters being locked into other situations with studios and so forth?
I mean, I would have to say, of course, because, I mean, the fact that they don't mention anime, the fact that, you know, you can't call, you know, characters mutants and things like that is, to me, I mean, it's a minor thing, but it's like, what's the big deal, you know, at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really care for that too much, but, even the character development on some of the characters is just crazy, like, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't want to spoil the movie, but, you know, we know that the Scarlet Witch has certain romantic ties with other people in the Avengers, and, you know, things like that is going to end up conflicting down the road. It's ridiculous.
I agree with, because, you know, and I guess this isn't a spoiler, but like it's alluded to in the trailer, that there is a little romance going on between Banner and what's her name, Black Widow.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if that ever happened in comics, but I always thought that Banner's heart belonged to Betty Ross. She's not dead, right? She's not dead, so. And that's the reason why, watching the TV show, wasn't that because he wanted to marry her, the reason why he was trying to find the cure to being the Hulk. So now you just kind of like yanked that whole thing out of there.
Not really, because what they did with the Hulk, with both of them, Banner started isolating himself from humanity. Up until, that's why when they found him in India helping people.
Mm-hmm.
But he separated himself from society. So he cut ties with her.
Yeah.
So that's what opens up the door to what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest concern now, listening to these, you know, TL conversation and just where these movies are going, it's like, I'm really concerned. I mean, Civil War, I mean, if they don't do it the right way, it's like, why do it? They don't do Infinity War the right way, then why do it? I would rather, I mean, me being a comic book fan, I would rather you do the comic book in the animated version and stick to the actual source material as much as you can. I mean, I understand that, you know, you don't got 5 hours to make a film, but, I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, the twists and turns these characters is taking. Like, you got characters dying.
Mm-hmm.
In their first premiere movie, like, really? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, you know, if you're not a comic book fan and you're watching it, I mean, that was the only time in the movie where I really was like, really? And, you know, I didn't really expect that from the Avengers. Like, you know, I mean, X-Men, they're all over the place. We saw X-Men 3. You saw what they tried to do with the Phoenix. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, when I saw that in the Avengers, I was like, here we go. Like, you know, where are you going with this? And,
well,
you know,
It's preparation for Civil War, because as we all know, in the comics in Civil War, a lot of main characters die. A lot of heroes that die.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain, like, even if you read Civil War comic book, there's certain villains that need to be in this movie that are not going to get introduced until probably that movie. You know, if Spider-Man is not in the movie, if Reed Richards is not in the movie, it's like, what are we doing? Like, why bother? Like, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that second Punisher movie. What is that?
That was awesome. Oh, my God. That was
the one with Travolta was in? Or are you talking about
Warzone.
The sequel to this?
Was it Warzone? The second one?
Yeah, Warzone. I'm talking about Warzone. Oh, you're talking about the middle one after Thomas Jane? The middle one?
I'm not talking about the one back in the day with, like, the Russian. I'm talking about the first Punisher movie.
You're talking about
with Thomas Jane, where Thomas Jane played Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
If that's his name. I'm not really familiar.
Jane. Thomas Jane, John
Travolta. That's the one Travolta was in. I thought that one was pretty good. Yeah, but although I think that the online short with the Punisher was better. They should have kept it like that.
That was pretty decent. That was actually,
yeah. The online thing was good. Dirty Laundry was great.
Dirty Laundry, yeah.
I'm at the point now with Marvel. Like, you know, I really need the Fantastic Four movie that's coming out. Is like, come on, really? I really think that it's important to the fan. If you've been buying comic books since you were a kid and you've been following these storylines, to at least try to do it some justice on that aspect. I mean, I know, like I said, I know there's a lot of companies involved, and I know you can't really do movies the way you want to because of certain restrictions and people earn certain rights or certain characters. I don't know how Marvel let that get this far, but whatever. But at the end of the day, I want to see a film that's going to, you know, bring me back to that childhood feeling I was getting when I was reading these comics. And if you can't get it, you know, as close to, you know, similar to those comic books, then what are you doing? I mean, I think it's kind of ruining the effect as a fan.
Now, well, you have a good point. You have an excellent point. Now, before we let you go, do you have a did you get a chance to piece together a top five?
I mean, I can wing it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, how many Marvel movies? I mean, I really like Spider-Man movie. I wouldn't put it as number one. I would say I'll just give you five. I'm not no particular order.
Okay.
I like that Punisher movie. I like this Spider-Man movie. I like the first Iron Man. Second one was trash.
What?
Captain America, they did him justice.
Right.
Thor, you know, I like. I don't know if that's five, but.
so
but,
you
know,
okay? So you like no particular order? The first Spider-Man movie you said, or the remake, the Amazing Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire or the other guy?
I mean, the Tobey Maguire one was alright.
Okay,
I mean, I
very first.
To be honest,
I like
the other character playing Spider-Man. I didn't really care for the origin, the way they you know, changed things up, but I like that Spider-Man more. Just because it kind of showcased Spider-Man's abilities a little bit better,
yeah,
they represented him
a little better. I actually liked it's interesting. I mean, the very first Spider-Man was awesome to see. I mean, I treat the very first movies like in a special place. Like I watched me watching the first Spider-Man, I felt the same way I felt when I saw the very first Batman movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, oh, my God, he's finally on the screen. You know what I'm saying? That's how I felt when I saw it. So I was a little overjoyed. But comparing the movies, I actually liked Spider-Man.
I forgot about Batman.
Yeah. But I'm saying, that's how I felt when I saw Batman on the screen for the first time.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a better Joker than Jack until old boy came in and kind of took that role over.
Yeah,
I agree.
It was really good. He really did his thing. And I was a naysayer. I was a big naysayer. I was like, Brokeback Joker? That's what I was saying.
that's almost as bad as the Black Kingpin.
No. I will not allow you to do that. You will not disrespect my Clark Duncan. Like,
no,
you
will
not.
Yo, Wait a second. How are you going to sit there and complain about them changing the character of Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four from white to black, but got no problem with him changing the character Kingpin from white to black?
Here's why, Ralph.
Oh, I got a big problem with the Kingpin being black. I'm let that slide with the Black Nick Fury.
thank you. Same thing. Nick Fury.
Here's the point. And I'll explain both of those points. Here's the point why with Johnny Storm. The reason why people have such a beef with Johnny Storm, of course, the racist people have a problem with him being black. Mia West's problem is not with him being black. It's the fact that Sue Storm and Johnny Storm are brother and sister. Okay, granted, in this storyline, obviously from the trailer, one of them is adopted. But, yeah, or stepbrother or adopted or whatever you want to call.
Somebody got frostbite.
So now, with Nick Fury, to answer your question, with Nick Fury, in the comic, the future Nick Fury after the 90s was black.
We're aware of that, but now, with the storyline, Kingpin was never black.
Kingpin was never black. But here's why Michael Clark Duncan gets a pass. Because he played the Kingpin persona to the T. That was Kingpin. He was the Kingpin. That his whole persona, his size, just his size alone, his presence in a room, and the way he talked. Let me tell you something. If I had known nothing about the Kingpin in the comic book, I would have swore up and down that that was the Kingpin.
They get the affirmative action points, but that's about it.
I give you that one, and you know what? The truth of the matter is that I totally agree with the whole thing with Fantastic Four. Because when they first said, I said wait a minute. If Johnny Storm is going to be black, then realistically speaking, Sue Storm needs black. And I said the person that you need to have to play Sue Storm should be Nicole Beharie. That's the girl that should have played Sue Storm.
I'm not really familiar with her. Who is she?
Nicole Beharie. She's the girl that plays on the TV show Sleepy Hollow, but she was also.
Oh, okay.
That's my girl.
Yeah. I said it should. Yeah, it should have been her, because you're right. That like the thing with changing Luke from
changing black.
Exactly, because like the same thing with changing Luke not being Vader's son. That's something that's like so integrated into. Because that particular fact transcends the comic book. It's like that's something that we all like. We don't know nothing else about the Fantastic Four. We know that Johnny and Sue are natural blood brothers and sisters.
Well, actually, Ralph, let's take it back. If you want to take it back to the original Fantastic Four, actually, the Human Torch was originally an android.
Yeah, but they're not gonna go there. Because,
we ain't going that far back. The
golden age and all this other stuff that everyone is the hit versions of the comic. That's just like, you know, you don't want to go.
If that's the case, then they're going to go back and stick to the comic. Then look where Vision really comes from. Vision was built from a piece of the Human Torch, right? From Ultron.
Yep.
So I'm not going to get all the way back there. But while I do got that on the line, though, who is our favorite black superhero?
Our favorite black superhero is...
I know what you mean. Don't say T'Challa.
Nah, I was going to say... I was joking. I said Barack Obama.
Black Dynamite. Dynamite.
Barack Obama. No, my favorite black superhero... Oh, man.
I'm realistically, I got to go with Blade.
Yeah,
I have to go with Blade.
That's who I was thinking about saying Blade.
Only thing I got to say is one thing, Midnight Sun. If you read the Midnight Sun series, then you would understand why Blade would be your favorite black comic book character.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Not even Night Thrasher or Moon Knight.
I like Night Thrasher. That was who I was going to come with him too. I like Night Thrasher because he is like seriously like a young, you know,
I don't think Bishop is black.
He was kind of like a young, I mean, Night Thrasher, the character, when you break him down, he's like a young Batman, black Batman type of, you know, character.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I can't even lie.
Spawn. I'm going not DC or Marvel. Spawn.
You going with Spawn?
Spawn.
Spawn, yeah. I would put Spawn up here. Yeah, what's that image?
Yeah
I mess with Spawn.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Come on, the guy it's basically indestructible.
I think for me he has it. We will be seeing him soon on Netflix. And mine's got to be the Hero for Hire, man. Power Man.
Oh, Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Nick Cage is a beast.
So, I mean, a lot of people may not have heard of him yet. You know, all of the comic book people have. They're making
Cage
a Netflix.
Cage
right. They're making a Netflix original, just like they did with Daredevil. for Iron Fist and Power Man.
I didn't catch that, but I heard it's hot.
Yeah, you gotta catch it when you get a chance.
Well, I have to say, my favorite from back in the day is my favorite black character is Cloak from Cloak and Dagger. I love Cloak and Dagger. I always was a fan of the not so forefront Marvel characters because they had really good stories. They had in depth stories, and they were just really good, and you could get caught up in them.
Well, I read a book, and you know, I won't get too far into the books because we are a film show, and they haven't made a film about this. And if they did, it would be super R-rated. And I used to read a book called The Blood Syndicate, which was a team of black superpowered. I don't even know. They were like anti-heroes. They weren't really heroes. They were like anti-heroes because they did save people to a degree, but they weren't really out there to save people. It was kind of like the world kind of blew up, and these people ended up getting powers, and you know they were gang busted, they were busting up crack houses. It was crazy. Yeah, they're from Hempstead.
They're from Rockside. No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, they're from Rockside. But this, you know, I would say if I have to take a mainstream black character, it would be Cage, you know, or Power Man. And I definitely got to agree with Ralph and when he mentioned Blade. I think Blade is definitely. Never really got into Spawn.
If I had to pick out of those, I would definitely pick Spawn. Spawn, I don't think Spawn.
I respect it. I think Spawn is a bad MF-er, but I never got into him, so.
I definitely think Spawn would beat up Blade for sure.
Spawn could kick his ass quick.
Hands down.
Probably so.
If you remember that HBO animated series of Spawn,
that was awesome.
The stuff that guy could do.
I did watch that because it's McFarlane.
Who is that? Todd McFarlane?
Yes, it is. So, all right. So, my last question to you is: which film, Marvel film, are you looking most forward to now that you've seen Age of Ultron? You know the lineup. We have Civil War coming. We got Ant-Man, Civil War, Ragnarok, which is Thor. You have another Guardians of the Galaxy. You have the Inhumans. You have Captain Marvel, which is basically Miss Marvel.
Hold on. They can't mess that up either.
I appreciate
Captain Marvel. I mean, I like Warbird. I like Miss Marvel. She's one of my favorite female Marvel characters. Yeah, but I mean, are they gonna do with that? Like, that goes back to are they gonna stick to the comic? Are they gonna just take a spin off it? I would have to say that movie, but I don't know what they're gonna do with it. Civil War. It really depends on who's in it.
And of course you got the.
I'm really scared of this Infinity movie, so I don't
really
know.
Really scared of it. It's making you nervous, huh?
Man.
We'll have to.
You saw the indie, once you saw that, it was like they skipped a lot of stuff. What are they doing?
Black Panther is. That's probably my most anticipated one out of all of them that's coming up. I want to see Black Panther.
When does that come out?
Oh, wow. A long time.
What, 2018, I think?
Something like that.
Really?
But
they pushed it up. It was supposed to be 16, but they moved it up to 18.
Yeah, because they got Spider-Man back. They're doing another Spider-Man. So Spider-Man got bumped in there, and, of course, the black man got bumped down. But we will see T'Challa, he'll be in Civil War, definitely. I don't know how much of capacity, but he's going to be in Civil War. I believe he's going to probably be in the beginning of Civil War because somebody got the answer to what the hell went on in Wakanda. So
But were they really in Wakanda? Like, I mean,
they were. They were.
They
right
mentioned
there.
It, but they mentioned it by name. But I didn't really see them there. I don't know where they were. They looked like
they were
on
like
boat.
Right on the. Yeah, they were there. They were like right on the outskirts.
Yeah, because I remember hearing. I said, "Isn't that where Black Panther's from?"
Yeah, they were out. They were there, and then when they left, they said that the Stark Foundation was on the ground there.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, helping out or whatever. So that's cool, man. So anyhow, we appreciate the call, dude. Good convo.
Yeah, make sure you text me early, man, so I can get on here, man. I like this, man. This is excellent, man. This is exactly what you need.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, man. Be good.
And that's my boy Jamel. He respects the comic world and the movie world. And that's what's up, man. Let's see. Before we run out of time, we have another caller, 818. Where is 818? I know that number.
I know exactly where it is. That's it's a California. I know, and I even know who that person is. You want to put her on the line?
All righty then. 818-447, you're on the line with Real Talk.
Hey, y'all, hey. Hi, Rob.
Hey. this person called, and this is actually one of my clients. And I was like, this is adult film star Tiffany Taylor.
Hey, Tiffany Taylor, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing?
I am very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
That's what's up. Are you a movie fan or what?
I kind of am a little bit of a movie fan. So it's funny because I'm not that much into comics, like the illustration.
Okay.
But these new age that they're doing in like the theaters with like that real actress, like that's how I know comics, like Catwoman and Spider-Man and like.
So what's your favorite? What's your favorite comic book movie that you've seen?
Catwoman.
What was it? Catwoman?
Catwoman.
Yes. Is she a comic or no?
Yes, she is. She is a comic. She's part of the comic world. Yeah, she is part of the comic world. So Catwoman is your favorite now.
Catwoman is awesome. I like her. She's all like smooth and sexy. I think the Halle Berry image is what kind of got me hooked onto it. So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Halle Berry is just looks good in anything, in my opinion. But, okay, that's what's up. Any other ones?
Yeah, no. we're gonna talk about that later on tonight, about that whole Halle Berry and Catwoman, how bad it really was.
Yeah, I'm on that Skype with my friend just now, and he was literally like looking at me like WTF, and he just sent me a message like that was a bad movie.
And you know what? What was bad about it was it actually could have been a good movie, but what was bad about it? It went the same way as Elektra, what was the garbage with the fight scene, man? I mean, it just made it so corny. It was just so campy.
It was sad, yeah. It was
horrible.
We're not gonna dump on your movie if that's your favorite.
All right. I was a preteen when I saw it. I was a preteen, so I was like, oh snap, that is so smooth. I didn't, you know, I wasn't a critic back then. I thought it was Halle Berry. My friend has a message that says no excuses, LOL.
Well, that's funny. Well, you should have your friend call the show and give their favorite film, comic book film, and we really appreciate you giving us a call and showing some love. I know you're showing love to your boy Ralph.
Definitely, thanks.
Yeah,
it's love her back. She shows a lot of love,
That's what's up. Thanks for calling, dear.
Thanks for answering. Yeah, I'll have my friend call.
All right. 646-595-4038. We have on the line 631-940. You're on the line with Real Talk.
Hey, Wes, what's up?
Hey, Mr. Lawrence.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, you know, we've been going back and forth, and we've been doing top five,
You know, we like to do that. Comic films, it's pretty broad, but, you know, hey, what the hell? Unless you want to narrow it down and do Marvel films, because they've made so many now, mm-hmm. You can go with your best five, but, you know, take a crack at overall comic book film.
Oh, wow.
You've seen enough of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen every single one of them, even all the bad ones that were done in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Even
the Roger Corman?
Yeah, even the Roger Corman ones, man. The Captain America, the Fantastic Four, the Roger Corman. I've seen them all, believe me. Those were not memorable, but what can you do? It was the times. And even the Spider-Man TV show where he had the netball eyeballs and where he had the ropes coming out of his wrist.
Yeah.
It was worth the shot, you know. We just didn't have the technology at the time to do it. You know, but now it's different, though. But for me, it's not exclusively Marvel.
The Batman films
I thought were fabulous. I thought the Batman films were fabulous. I even liked the Watchmen movie, actually, for the most part. But the Watchmen is not a Marvel or DC character. Those were like, Charlton comic characters. Yeah, they were owned by Charlton Comics originally. But I even liked the Spider-Man, the first two. I thought the Dr. Octopus concept was fabulous for that.
That was good.
They did a great job, especially the battle on the train where they were duking it out on top of the train.
That was awesome.
It was beautifully done, I thought. You know, I thought all that was well done. You know, for really those films, really. For the black superhero thing, for me, growing up, I used to be a fan of a comic book called Deathlock.
Way
before the first technological super soldier. It's a very underrated character, I think.
They've reprised Deathlock on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, I think.
Oh, really? I haven't kept up with that. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't kept up with that. Really?
Yes,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they actually brought that character into the S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, they have. Deathlock was good. That was a character.
Yeah, and Luke Cage was another one because that was a big Luke Cage and Iron Fist type of Power Man Iron Fist series. You know, I know they were originally going to do a Iron Fist film some years ago. Apparently they had Ray Park slated to play the part, but I don't know what happened with that. That kind of went out the window.
I was upset about that because I really wanted to see Ray Park.
Yeah, he had the skills to do it. He had the skills. He was perfect for it.
We don't know how
skill wise.
We never know how his real acting ability is because he never hardly says anything.
Yeah,
plays characters, except for he talked a little bit as the Toad.
He's very British. He's very British, but as far as what you guys were talking about with the studios. The studios and Marvel, at least in my opinion, the studios are not going to learn their lesson until they get hit in the box office. That's when they're going to learn their lesson. I mean, history has always taught us that the studios always have a group of guys that never respect the material, but they're more interested in what they think is going to make the box office receipts. So you have that, and you have a bunch of egos. So
you just hit it on the head.
Look what happened with Frank Darabont when he did the situation with the Walking Dead series. You know, he helped start that. He had all this respect, get this thing going, and then he started bumping heads with executives, a certain executive, and then wound up being forced to leave the series, you know. So it's not uncommon. You always have a group of guys with the money who want to fix things that are not broken. And they spend all their time determining what is going to make money, not whether or not the material will make the money, but what will make money and how they go about making the money. But they never respect the material. They never have, really. That goes way back. I mean, that goes back before all of us were born, for that matter. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
It never changes, really.
Batman and Robin, prime example.
Yeah. Well,
Batman
and
Robin, prime example.
Everybody knows what's better. Everybody knows what's better, you know. Mm-hmm. And the fans, you know, the comic book crowd and the comic book universe is like a pendulum. It swings in one direction, it'll swing in another direction, and it'll swing in another direction. And you have all these multiple crossover storylines, and you'll change things around. one minute this character is straight, this character is gay, this character is white, this character is black. This they're constantly changing things. It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Even that's why a lot of times it's hard to determine whether an audience is going to accept something on the screen because you've made changes based on what you're doing in the film as opposed to what's in the comic book. Sometimes it works better on screen than it does in the comic book, and sometimes what works in the comic book works better just in the comic book, you know. So
yes.
It's a give-and-take situation, but you're never going to please an audience. You're never going to please an audience. I've had people, I can give you, you know what, I know people that you couldn't complain about certain movies, and they'll still find something wrong with it. So,
so it's more so the American crowd than it is outside of the United States.
I think just the loyal fans of comics. The loyal fans of comics get to a point where they get kind of fanatical, really. They treat these characters as if they're real people. And they'll act as if, oh, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, you know, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. I said, why can't you do this? You didn't have this character 10 years ago. Why can't you do this, you know?
Yeah.
But it really depends on, I mean, it's not like Roland Emmerich turning Godzilla into the beast from 20,000 fathoms, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's nothing like that. But, you know, you do have some leeway to make changes if you need to in order to make it work for the screen. Because the truth of the matter is if you have, like, 10 or 12 characters, how much screen time are each of these characters going to get, you know? And you got to figure out a way to make it all fit. And that's hard. That's really hard.
Did you see Age of Ultron?
Not yet.
Okay.
I know. I kind of have a lot of faith in Josh because Josh used to write for Marvel, you know?
Yes.
So, and it's like, it's not like getting Tim Burton to direct it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, Tim Burton takes everything and makes it Tim Burton.
Yep.
You know, no disrespect to Tim Burton, but, it's not like I don't want to see bulging eyeballs and laughing skulls. You know, I don't want to see that. You know, I want to see, it's like when he did with the Dark Shadows movie. I was a big fan of the show. I was a big fan of the two Dan Curtis Dark Shadow movies, and I'm thinking, oh, he's making a Dark Shadows movie. Oh, he's got respect for this character. I know how much he loves the show. Then I watch it, and it's like this campy comedy. And I said, oh, God, he's Tim Burtonized it. I said, there we go.
Yeah.
I said, that's it, you know.
Wow, Burtonized it.
He's Burtonized it, you know, just like.
He got it right, though. He so murdered that. I was just like, what are you doing?
There's nothing
funny about this. There's nothing funny.
You know, that show was a very dark, gothic show with a lot of drama. There was no room for humor in it. There was no humor in it at all. Even in the two films that were done, you know, House of Dark Shadows and Night of Dark Shadows, I mean, Barnabas Collins' character, that character, Jonathan Frith's character, is a really dark, sinister individual. It's not a campy character that gets thrown against walls and has sex rolling over, listening to Barry White rolling
over. That was terrible.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, what did you do? It's like what they did with the Jonah Hex movie. You know, they Hollywoodized it. You know, they had these two. You throw in things that don't fit in the times. You have these sort of inventive weapons and two-bit one-liners. You know, when you kill a film, if you ask me. That's when you kill. It's like putting mustard on ice cream. It doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, so when you get a chance, I know you'll go out and check Age of Ultron.
Oh,
but,
definitely.
You know, we definitely appreciate the call. As usual, we always love when you call in and give your insight. And please give us a call back next week.
All right.
Thanks a lot, brother.
All right, man. Take care.
Take it easy. Okay, so we're at the end of our show. It's pretty funny because the lines are still lighting up. And it's like the show
keep
is
going. Answer the calls. Answer the calls.
They're like, more calls. It's not working. I can't do it. We got to go. So, anyhow, we thank everybody who called up, all the people that called in and we couldn't get to you, or we apologize. Please call back next week. Don't be mad at us. Come on back, and we'll make sure you talk. thank India Morrell and Dollhouse Radio, as usual. Thank Blog Talk Radio. Didn't have any really noticeable glitches. So, I want to thank that. Of course, thank my Jedi Council
as always, for calling in. And I think that's it. Thank myself.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
You do that?
This is a funny thing. I actually hate ending this show because we always talk about it and we talk good stuff, and I hate coming down to the end of the show, but it is the end, and we'll be back
next.
We need
to campaign for an additional half an hour.
Yeah, we'll work that out. We did do it a couple times. We tried going 2 hours, and it's cool, you know, because the hour and a half goes so quick when you get into good conversation, because this stuff is up for so much debate. It becomes great conversation. So we'll be back next week with some more great conversations, some more movie talk, and some more real talk. For the Jedi Council, I am the director, and we will see you. And as we always say, you can love us or you can hate us, but don't ever forget about us. Good night.